Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Maggie.
Hey, Mike.
How's it going?
It's going good. You just asked me for a mic test, and so I was saying Mike a lot. Like, Mike, mic test, Mike, Mike. It goes well with your name. So before we get into today's episode, Mike, which is your brainchild, every now and then you get like a wild hair and you're like, I got a topic I want to do, you know, which isn't as often. I mean, we're into all the topics and we like discuss our, you know, sometimes we have like thoughtfully planned episodes, and then sometimes we're just like, we have a topic that's on our mind in a particular time and we just knock it out. But you inspired this. And so what's particularly interesting about this first story is this morning I was like, oh, Mike kind of did the show notes. You told me like what the topic was. I kind of scanned them yesterday. I had a busy day. But I had a lot of thoughts on this. So I had kind of jotted some notes down. And then I was just like on Instagram for a minute this morning. And there was a story on Liz Gets Loaded's account, which we have to, you know, I got to mention her in every episode. But there was a story and I was like, huh, that's weird. It was someone else referencing her podcast and she had reshared their thing and just said, I'm listening to Liz Gets Loaded's. Someone else said, I'm listening to Liz Gets Loaded's podcast today and realizing that the thrill of my newer, bigger paycheck has completely worn off. I'm already looking for the next position. And the thrill of that $10,000 raise would give me. We've gotten used to the new paycheck and the unlocking the next level would be awesome. I'm going to work on being grateful for the pay that I have and try to bring some excitement back to it. And I just saw that and I was like, huh, that's like super related to what we're doing. What episode, like what podcast did she do? Because I was like, I listened to most of her podcasts and I hadn't heard it yet. And then I went and looked and it was her very most recent one, which is why I hadn't seen it yet. And it just came out, I don't know, yesterday. Yeah, it literally just came out yesterday. And her episodes are short, Mike. So in the 10 minutes before this that I saw that, I was like, oh, I'll listen to it on 2x speed. And I listened to the episode. And it was just funny because she was talking about some of the things that we're going to talk about today. And I just thought it was funny that this was like, you know, a wild hair you had of a topic you really wanted to talk about. And then the fact that she was talking about it yesterday just was like, you know, fate that this is an important topic that we should be discussing.
Well, I think there is actually a reason why this topic is on my mind and on her show. And it's because this is the time of year when companies that operate on a calendar year, fiscal calendar, we'll start giving bonuses, do reviews, give raises, and everybody gets very anxious about it. The money's never enough. People are always promised stuff and then the reviews don't come through. And so like people are extremely anxious, excited, but also extremely anxious. And so I've been having a lot of conversations about it with people at work and at different companies. And so it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. And speaking of work or not working, do you know what today is?
COVID's 3-year anniversary?
You should know it. No, it's more. Is it actually today?
No, oh, no, it's like next March. Week that we we all start working from home.
Yeah. We should celebrate that also, though. Yeah. No, it is. Did you look at Instagram this morning?
I haven't been on Instagram in months.
Okay. It explains why you don't ever like any of our posts, Mike.
Yeah, sorry. Don't take it personally.
It is our Greg and Mai's 300th day since we early retired.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations. Yeah. A milestone?
It's a random number. For what it's worth, it's not like we were celebrating our 300th day. I was like talking to somebody a week ago and I asked Siri, you can like ask Siri. I was like, how many days has it been since May 6th? And she said 293 days. So I made a point and I was like, oh, it'd be fun to recognize 300 days because it's, you know, a week away. And so, yeah, it's been 300 days. And I don't know. I just had some reflections. You can go look at a reel on Instagram if you care about my reflections. Let's get into today's topic because it's all mushing together in talking about work and why we work and all that jazz. So kick us off, Mike.
All right. So we're going to be talking about how the desire to progress in a career can become toxic. And we have a couple like very interesting notes from listeners who share their stories. And I think it'd be good to read these. And they're a little bit long, but I think everybody will be able to relate to them to some degree. And then we'll share our thoughts why this is the case and then how you can help manage it.
Yeah. And Mike, before you read the first one, I think it's interesting the way you describe what we're talking about, because I take this to like a more broader existential question about like why we work. Right. And to me, when you like break that down, which we'll talk about, it gets into why we have this pressure to get to, you know, more and more and more and more. But you almost have to get to the like why we work in the first place, which we'll talk about and I'll share my thoughts on. But I think these listener questions and kind of stories are a little bit long. They're fascinating because I think so many people can relate to different bits and pieces of how these people are thinking and what they're dealing with.
So let's jump into the stories. I'm going to read one. Maggie, you're going to read the next one and then we'll get into our show.
And these are real stories and we have permission from the people to share them, but they're pretty anonymized.
In most cases, I think when people email us stuff, they know it's going to end up on the show. Otherwise, they would just tell us offline personally.
Yeah, we usually do ask first.
Yeah, so. We do. We're respectful about it. And if there's something you, if you want to write us a long letter and say, like, don't share this particular piece, we will honor that. All right. First story. I'm currently working for someone that I do not particularly care for. Probably the worst manager I've ever worked for. But this is another topic entirely. I have really worked hard to position myself for a promotion and I'm right there. The line has been moved recently, but I see the path and I'm charged to get it. But in doing so, some colleagues, friends, mentors have asked me, why is this title so important? At first, I just blew that off because I'm very focused on constantly growing myself and title has always been the evidence of achievement, I guess. Yes, learning a skill is good and I get warm and fuzzy and yes, I feel I'm compensated well, but I'm very hung up on this title. As a result of being asked this question, I'm now taking a step back and wondering, why am I obsessing over this title? It will get me a little bit more money, a bit more responsibility, but net-net, it won't give me that much more. It is really about the title for me and having that badge and that my peers know that I have achieved that and that my LinkedIn profile continues to show advancement, etc. Net-net, it's all for show. So is it really worth it? Is it worth it to run myself through this stressful state that I'm creating for myself and that I need to prove myself with the title to others? But I just can't shake it. I need it. I also reflect on my career and remember I was in a similar position years ago. I was in consulting and constantly pushing for that next promotion and title. And then I started having kids and my priorities changed. And I looked up and realized that I didn't want to be a partner. That was not the life I wanted or needed. So I went into industry and I took a job with the title that was looked down on by the consulting leadership team that I was working for. Oh, you should never leave the consulting for that title. You should get at least X. And I got a little shamed. So then I started to question the decision. Now I look back and laugh at all those folks. I'm in a way better position than I could have thought and very happy with my decision. So why can't I take that learning and apply it here? Then I also think about my dad and his thoughts that this rat race does not matter when it's all said and done. All that matters is who will be at your funeral. I laughed and I joked, you're right. No one has ever said to him, you're great, but I can't believe you made it to X level or that one year. I can't believe you achieved that KPI or failed so miserably. Sorry for being long-winded, but just wondering if you or Maggie have been through this and why I can't just say F this need to get the next title, but I can't.
What does the F stand for?
Stands for fuck, Maggie.
Thanks. Okay.
So we'll kind of like touch on these stories
as we get into our
go there. But like, I know exactly what he is talking about. Like, yeah. Exactly. The bad boss, the switching industries. I get all of it.
Yeah. And there's so much to unpack there. Yeah. I mean, I was highlighting certain phrases of, you know, just that my peers need to know that I've achieved that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I need to prove to myself with a title to others. And He knows the right things. Like he knows what's right and what's, you know, like it's like deep down he knows, but he's still getting pulled in this other direction, which is, we'll talk about it. Okay. I'm going to read the second listener story or question. I have worked for the same company for almost 17 years, straight out of college, have moved around laterally and stayed through my MBA. The first few promotions I received came very easy to me. When I look back, I think about how much I probably took them for granted and felt like I was so deserving. For the past 8 years, I have been looking for the next promotion. I moved my family across the country and have made many sacrifices in hopes of achieving this North Star. A few years ago, I started to realize that happiness and purpose may not be all wrapped up in this promotion. I continued to make more money and do more rewarding work. I was able to find immense flexibility to attend my children's sporting events and support them with their school activities. I was able to work out and volunteer. And then I was diagnosed with cancer in my late 30s. It was unreal. How could this be happening to me? I didn't share my diagnosis with people at work because I was so afraid that it would affect my ability to get promoted. I thought people would look at me differently. It was through this experience and through much self-searching that I realized my job did not define me. This title did not determine whether or not I was a success. As time goes on and I have focused less on the promotion, I have come closer than ever to getting it. What is clear to me now is that whether I am promoted or not, I will find happiness and peace with where I am. And if the promotion comes, that's great. Why do we let our title have such a big impact on how we determine if we are successful or not? That's a great question.
It's really kind of a heartbreaking story about getting cancer and not wanting to tell the people around you, some of whom are probably good friends of yours, because you think it's going to impact your career.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know where to begin on all this, Mike. There's a lot to unpack in both of these.
Yeah. So this is going to be an interesting discussion, and I think we're probably going to end up bouncing around in different ways than our show notes are structured. But, you know, I think it's important to share some initial thoughts about careers and job progressions and how positive they are. And Maggie, we didn't discuss this episode beforehand, but I'm sure that you would agree with a lot of this stuff. Having a quote unquote career and a job that has progression in many ways is a tremendous privilege. You're paid to learn a new skill. You can master that skill. You make friends, you influence decisions, you grow as a person, and you're paid for it sometimes very well. But when you work in a competitive hierarchical, ooh, that's a tough word, Maggie.
Hierarchical. Okay.
We're gonna need a synonym for that one.
I used to know how to say just a hierarchy.
Yeah, when you work in a competitive hierarchy, it's easy to find yourself wanting things that end up causing you anxiety and perhaps depression, and we don't even realize why. And those emails we got were examples of this. And we go along with the narrative that more is better, what you were talking about earlier, Maggie, and that titles are what we want, and we need to sacrifice part of ourselves to achieve it. If those emails resonated with you, listeners, this episode, I think, is going to be really interesting and helpful.
Yeah, and Mike, in the spirit of having aspirations and growing and getting the promotions is not a bad thing. You know, it can be good to have aspirations. It can keep you driven. It can keep you constantly wanting to learn. And it kind of keeps you competitive in a way, if that's your thing and what you want to focus on. I think the piece that I have learned myself over the last 20 years, and quite honestly, not fully until leaving my job, is just that there's a place for it, right? There's kind of the good side of it and there's the bad side of it. Like you said in the very beginning, you used the word toxic, Mike. There's a toxic side to it when you're doing it for the wrong reasons and when you're getting overly obsessed with it and overly focused on a title versus being valued at work and doing good work and getting paid fairly and things like that, and overly focused on comparing yourself to other people. But there's nothing wrong with having career aspirations. And I think that's important to note, right? You especially at a certain time in your life. I think about, you know, my early 20s, I had big career aspirations and I was working really hard. I spent arguably too much time working, but I spent a big chunk of my life working hard, feeling good about it, feeling rewarded for it. And for me, it paid off, right? Like I actually was able to kind of climb the ranks very quickly and more quickly than average. And a lot of it is because I was doing good work. I was working really hard. I also had a lot of things going for me positively. I had a boss who continued to stay at the company. And so I had a champion who was still there. When you constantly, sometimes you just have the luck of the draw is like the person who is one of your champions and really appreciates and values you leaves the company, right? And you lost that champion within the company. And so at the next reorg, you don't have someone who's got your back or whatever. And so I had a boss who also had a lot of kind of tenure and respect and was sticking around. And I was in a growing function of the business. I worked in e-commerce in the early 2000s and it continued to grow. You know, the size of the digital team grew from a handful of people to hundreds of people during the course of my career. And that benefited me in terms of there were more opportunities for growth. And in certain career fields, it didn't see that sort of growth. And there's just only so many positions to go into, right? And so I had a lot of success early on. I was able to sort of cram what could have been a longer career for some into a shorter career. And I saw, you know, the good and bad that came with getting the title and constantly getting a new title and a better title and more money as a result and other things. And again, there's good stuff that comes with it. But I also saw a lot of people over the years. I did a lot of hiring, hundreds of people, and I had hundreds of people report to me over the years. And I heard all of their stories like we just read, Mike, and I knew their aspirations. And I know a lot of people that were really, really hung up on title over money, actually. I used to tell people like, what's most important to you? Rank them for me. The work you're doing, the title you have, or the money you're making. And for me, it was like the work I'm doing and the money. The title was last. And I used to always tell my boss that because I'm like, I don't need the title. The title is for other people. Now, I mean, yeah, it feels good to have a certain title, but that to me is like a mindset and perspective thing. And we could make a huge comparison to financial independence and finance and like lifestyle inflation, right?
So Maggie, yes, you had a very good career. And I think for a lot of it, you were really happy in it. And I will just say that for people who their purpose really is to lead an organization and go to the top of their field, and they're truly happy doing that, that is a rare gift. And I envy those people that they have found their purpose, and they have succeeded at it. That's amazing.
And if they're able to fit it into their life and other goals in life, because that often is the trick, is you can't have everything in life, right?
Well, no, that's what I mean. Like, there are people who lead companies. This is their life.
Yes,
but this
you're right.
is the
yes.
life that they want.
Yeah,
and if those things are aligned and you are self-actualized, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, that's incredible. But for the majority of people, like, this is not actually, like, people don't want to be the CEO. The majority of people do not want to be the CEO. They don't want that. And at some point, they're going to realize that, like, this is not what they want. And that's what we're going to try to talk about here.
Mike, one of the best questions that someone once asked me, actually in a leadership coaching kind of course class that was sponsored by our company, was, are you working to live or living to work?
Yeah.
And at the time in my life, I was living to work, but I wanted to be working to live. And it took me a while to shift to that. But that's kind of the point you're making, I think, that is kind of the existential question and what we'll get more and more into throughout this discussion. By the way, did we say this is going to be a two-parter?
Yeah, two-part episode.
Okay, yeah.
So let's talk about first, like, why organizations are structured the way they are. All kinds of businesses and organizations have hierarchies. This is how they run, and they are complex by their nature. And they need to be managed that way because there's a bunch of different people doing different types of work. And so you need to kind of spread out the supervision of those and have a division of labor. Now, in theory, the more challenging a job or the more value it brings, the more it gets paid. And you can see this where, you know, if you are the star quarterback on an NFL team and you are the one who's winning the Super Bowl for them, you're going to get paid the most. Or if you have been doing some trade for a long time, or you are a commercial pilot for 40 years, you're going to get paid more because you are better at it. You have people's lives in your hands. But when it comes to like many companies that I think a lot of our listeners work for, that's not really how it ends up working in practice.
Mike, there's this whole trend for a while around particularly like startups being like flat and being like, we're not going to have hierarchies and we don't, you know what I'm talking about?
I can't.
Do you not remember that?
No.
It was kind of a trend for a while. And I was trying to Google to see some of the companies that did it. And I can't remember the names of them, but there were some startups that did it. And they didn't do well with it, yeah. Right? There's
it's
not
hard to function.
Yeah. So for everyone who kind of complains about hierarchies, like I spent 20 years of my career in a hierarchy and towards the top of a hierarchy, right? And so I get it. I get the cons of it, but there's way more pros when you really like look at, like, it is a reality for a large company to function. You can have a what's called like a flat company where there's really like no bosses. There's like maybe kind of one person running the company or something. But flat organizations, like, they don't work, right? There's no one to play referee. There's no one imposing standards. They can't scale. You can't deal with performance problems well, which is just a reality of work. People don't ask like the tough questions. There's all of these things that happen. And then what would happen with them is hierarchies would start to kind of spontaneously arise, right? Like, they weren't officially in place, but people would start to form them because that's just how the world works. Like, it's like you watch the show Survivor. You ever watch Survivor?
No.
I love it. Yeah, everybody comes in. It's a flat organization in theory, right? Hierarchies start, like, leaders start to arise and take the lead, and it's necessary, or everyone would just sit around staring at each other and like, who's going to build our shelter? How are we going to build the shelter? Somebody needs to start to.
I also think that people crave social cues. They need to know who deserves more time and attention and respect. They need to kind of stratify. Is that a word? Stratify?
I think so.
Themselves into these hierarchies. And so
I don't know if I agree with that statement, but really? I will say, what I do agree with there, or maybe a, you know, yes, and is, there are different types of people in this world, right? Some people want to be told what to do, and that's how they work well. Some people are better at leading and directing and less good at doing, right? And there's, you ever hear the, like, if you can't do, teach phrase, right? Like, there's all sorts of, I'm not saying I believe in that, but I'm just, there's different types of people and different types of, you know, so I don't know as much about, you know, what people are truly craving, but there are just different types of people in this world. And we naturally fall into certain roles when we are kind of left to our own devices.
So hierarchies exist everywhere. They have to exist. But as we go through and work in organizations like this, the hierarchies themselves end up becoming its own kind of importance in our lives and where people fall in those hierarchies. And it's important to kind of break down, like, why this is the case. And, you know, this might be a little more cynical of a view, but my thoughts are you should think about where the messaging comes from. So if you work in an organization and everybody's talking about titles and there's all this like attention around a position within the hierarchy, think about where that messaging comes from and who is telling you that rising up or getting a certain title or a certain responsibility is better. And it's usually the people at the top who control the narrative. They are the ones telling you down that, like, you should listen to this person because they're X title.
Yeah, that is true. I think one of the reasons when you first were talking about that, I was saying, I don't know if I disagree, is because that would drive me crazy about work. Like, I would often have people coming to me on my team that are like, hey, I'm trying to get this thing done. And I went to so-and-so, but like, they don't seem to be like doing it for me, then I would go, and because of my title, they would like do it with a smile. And I'm like, hey, this person on my team is who does this thing, and your job is to do X, Y, Z. You should just do it because it's your job. It doesn't matter who came to you asking for this
it's
thing.
It's still a person who came to you.
It's
and
a
you
human
owe them
being
respect.
Who has a job, yes. And it used to piss me off more than anything when I would discover, because there were people like this, not everybody, A lot of people give everybody respect regardless of their title and level, but there are people who would treat people very differently based on their level. And that is often why people wanted a promotion. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would have people say, I just want it because when I have the director title, people treat me differently and they will respond to my request differently. And I'm like, I know that's kind of true, but gosh, that makes me annoyed with the world. You know, it's not how we should be operating. We should be, and I used to pride myself on no matter what level anyone came to me with something, like if it was something that my team was supposed to be doing, like I would give them complete respect as long as they were like respectful to me, right? I would give them complete respect. Well, actually, I would usually give them respect even if they were kind of rude. But it is my job. I'm getting paid to do XYZ and I manage a team that does this and you need this and I will make sure you get to the right person or I can help you if I can. And because I just really bothered me. It bothers me when people treat people differently based on their title, their place in life, their, you know, how much money they have, whatever. And I know it's a reality, but it's a reality I don't like.
I agree with you. And the reality exists, I think, for two reasons. One is that for people higher up, it satisfies their ego to have people coming to them and treating them with more respect than they would get, like the person who came to you saying they want to be a director because they're going to get answers that way. But I also see it as creating obedience to the system. And so have you read the book Sapiens?
No, my brother's like a huge
You
fan
should read
of it.
Sapiens. It's on really my good. List. So there's this part about shared narratives and how things like a company, they actually talk about the company. I think it was like Fiat or Peugeot or something like that. The company is only a thing because people believe that it is a thing. They have this shared narrative. They go to a building. The building is not the company, but the people show up and they treat the executives with respect because people share that narrative. And so this idea that someone who is a senior vice president should get a little more respect than a vice president, should get a little more respect than a director, this is like a shared narrative. And it's like if you just go out into a crowd and you don't know what people's jobs are, you're not going to treat them differently. You have no social cues. You are not part of this shared narrative. They're just people out there. As soon as you go into the office and you know who they are, like your attitude about all of it changes because people believe that it's different.
I think the other thing that's important for people to understand about these hierarchies and the desire to want things and everything else that I hope will help to shift your perspective, which we'll talk more about later, but is just remember that, you know, these hierarchies are essentially a pyramid, right? There's tons of positions at the bottom. And as you go higher and higher, there are fewer and fewer positions, right? There's only one CEO up at the top, though there's a board usually on top of them if it's a public company.
So it's like a pyramid with another reverse
pyramid with another pyramid on top. Yeah. Then another pyramid because we're all answering to
Yeah, then we're all shareholders, right?
Yeah. Then there's the stock market. Okay. But the idea is there's only so many roles at the top. So the odds are against you from the beginning. And I just say that to say, like, we can't all have all these things, right? Like, we can't all be that role, right? When I look at, you know, I used to lead teams that had, you know, 60 to 100 people on them at times. And of those 100 people, only one person could lead the team. And I had five or six direct reports that reported to me. There were only five or six of those people out of 100, right? And so take that, you know, small example times, you know, 100 at companies and realize that there's only so many of these roles. And so I don't even know my point in that exactly, Mike, other than
I know you know what, Maggie? This is a perfect segue to my next note, and you didn't even realize it.
Do it.
Okay.
Glad I could help.
So, yes, you can think of it as a pyramid. You can also think of that pyramid as a pipeline. Companies need people to want those roles. And if it, like there was like no change in pay and no change in title, why the hell would anybody want to go, you know, keep climbing up and getting like super stressed out? There needs to be some incentives. And part of that incentive is that you need to create this narrative around wanting to go into those positions. So they need people to want to compete for those fewer spots.
Yeah. What's tricky about that is they need some people to to want those spots.
They need enough people so that they can find one good one. I think that's your point, right?
And because what's interesting, that's kind of a different angle on what you just said, Mike, is companies actually need fewer people to want those positions, in my opinion, because, and I'll just give some examples, like when I had people on my team, and sometimes I would come across people and they were really happy in their role and they had no upward ambition. And I was always like, cool, that's great. You're doing a great job. I highly value you. You're good at this job and I'm glad you enjoy it. And like, you don't need to have additional ambition to want to do something else, because this job will, I don't want to say always, but will be here for you as long as, you know, this is a good, secure job, right? And we, when I have, you know, 20 people on a team and one manager, and they all want to be the next manager when that manager leaves, I have 19 people who are unhappy that they didn't get the job. I'm better off when I have 15 people who are actually happy in their roles and maybe aren't even ready for that step next. And maybe a couple people who want it, and we get to kind of, you know, figure out who's the best fit for it. And I don't leave with 19 people who are dissatisfied. You know what I mean? Like, you need enough people, but not too many, or you got everybody's unhappy.
You raise a good point. I think it depends on the organization. Like a buddy of mine is a HR executive at a Fortune 5 company. And he was telling me that Fortune 5. And he was telling me they cannot get people interested in their executive roles. And I'm talking about like the most senior executive roles. Like there's a generational pivot happening. They cannot do it. And so when you're early in your career and you're a manager, it's super exciting. You want to become a director. The higher you go up, the older you get, the less interest there is in those super, and these are super high paying jobs. I mean, like millions and millions and millions of dollars a year. And people are just like, no thanks, buddy.
That is really interesting. And this kind of related to the point that went in that Liz Gets Loaded episode that I was referencing. She was talking about someone who had posted something that said, do you get paid enough to deal with the BS of your job? And just realizing, as you get to those higher levels, you get paid more, but you're getting paid more because you're dealing with a lot more. I'm going to just sum it up by BS. You're no longer just managing yourself and a reasonable workload. You are now managing tons of people, all of their complaints about the world, all of their, their career aspirations, all of the politics, all of the complexities involved in whatever, the crisis of the day, whatever it is. And it's a lot more. And now you're getting paid to deal with it. So that might be a trade-off you're willing to make. But that is interesting, just that perspective of that they can't find people. My observation was more, there were a lot of people that wanted those roles, but weren't necessarily ready for them.
So all of this creates a reality where people's self-worth and their happiness are inextricably linked to their career success. And that can, in many cases, create a lot of unhappiness in your life. And that's really what we want to address.
Yeah. And Mike, I think when we think about where that came from, it came from capitalism, right? You know what I mean? Does that make sense at all? Or should I elaborate?
Elaborate.
Okay. Part of me was like, you're just going to be like, yeah, sure. Just so I don't elaborate.
I'm going to have you elaborate, then I'll cut it out of the final edit.
the idea, I sometimes think is it, companies that have created this desire in us? I think it's our broader society that has created this desire in us, right? It's this kind of you hear people refer to a hedonistic treadmill that we're all on of we constantly want more, more, more. We're not really wired to be satisfied with things. And it's a huge realization I've come to. It's what allowed me to walk away from my job was getting off the hedonistic treadmill and saying I'm okay with having enough and not more, more, more. I could have stayed on the treadmill and had more, more, more in life. And that is bucking a trend in society. I am abnormal. We talk about it, right? I've taken the road less traveled. Is it the path less traveled?
It's the road not taken.
It's the road not taken, right? I'm not saying that to toot my own horn. I'm saying I'm abnormal. Everyone I talk to, I'm not abnormal when you and I talk, Mike, because you have the similar beliefs. But if you were to put me in a, you know, as a percentage of society, I'm abnormal. I'm in the minority.
Well, your point about capitalism, I think, is astute. Because if you think back to when we were like an agrarian, you know, world, the farmer was not thinking like, man, I'd really like to be a senior farmer and make more money. They're like, no, I want a farm so I could feed my family and just be alive. And it wasn't until the advent of capitalism and complex organizations that these societal pressures were created.
Yeah, and capitalism brings with it many, many good things. But it also does bring with it this constant desire for more and more and more that leads to a lot of feelings of like inequality and just a lot of like systemic issues that are part of it. But
all right, so let's take a step back and begin to deconstruct some of this stuff, which will lead into our second episode where we offer some more advice. The first thing that is important is that when we look at an organization, they are all just people. Some of them are happy, some of them are miserable. Some are pretty smart, some aren't. Some started from nothing, some got everything handed to them. They are all just a normal cross-section of people. There is nothing inherently better or worse about them because of where they are in an organization and what they do.
When you were saying that some people are happy and some people are miserable, I was going to add, and then some people are presenting as happy, but are like miserable on the inside, right? Like what you see on the outside is not what you get.
And for those of you listening who have progressed in your careers and, you know, perhaps you're middle-aged and you've been in a company for 10 years and you're a few levels up, like, are you happier now? Think about what you are happier with and what you are less happy with, and try to understand if those are because you progressed or those are just because of changing dynamics in your own life. They might not be tied together.
Yeah. I also, Mike, often think about, do your close friends and family really care more or less about you because of your title, right? It was the first one where they talked about, you know, their dad and their thoughts about the rat race and them saying, you know, at their funeral, nobody was ever like, oh, I can't believe they never made it. They only made it to X title, you know, like that. No one's thinking about that stuff.
Yeah, that's right. You don't have a title anymore, and I still like you just as much as I did when you were working.
Yes. Thanks. And you're welcome. I've thought I was really afraid to like walk away from the job and the title. And now being on the other side of it, I'm like, I'm not sure what I was afraid of. I'm the same person.
Yeah.
I'm arguably a better person these days. And I'm more in touch with who I am now. And because so much of it was kind of wrapped up in my identity at work before. And I think it's harder to identify that when you're in it. When you're on the other side of it, kind of looking back at it, it's a lot easier to have those realizations and revelations.
Yeah. And as you're thinking about if your family and friends care as much about this stuff as you do, also think about like what you've had to sacrifice, your job for your career, and think about if that trade-off was really worth it in retrospect. Now, Maggie, you and I would both agree that when you're early in your career, when you're, you know, growing as a person and, you know, gaining skills, like you need to sacrifice, and that sacrifice is worth it. At some point, and that point is different for everybody, the sacrifice probably isn't worth it. And so having a little bit of reflection on this is really going to put into perspective what you are willing to sacrifice in the future.
Yeah, my big thing that I've mentioned a few times is, you know, I don't have any regrets from when I was pre-kids in my 20s, really. You know, I had the time to be able to, you know, put it in and still do other things I wanted to do, though I wish I had traveled more back then. But outside of, you know, that a few weeks a year, I really think about once I had kids, right? And were those trade-offs and times really worth it? You know, the first 10 years of my kid's life, like, was that worth it?
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is now, but if I could go back and do it again, I might restructure and kind of reorder some things.
I think people can relate to that. And then lastly, you know, I often think about people who were much admired in a company. People envied their position. And think about where they are now. And they're still like a person out there. They're not at the company, but like nobody talks about them anymore. They're not like revered in the same way as when they were part of the company.
People talk about me at work every day.
You will be shocked to know this, Maggie. Actually, people always ask me, they're like, how's the podcast? How's Maggie doing? They're like, but they're not.
But they're
like,
doing that on like a personal level. On a personal level. They're not like, you know, yes, they're not like, oh, I missed that quarterly report Maggie used to run us, you know, like whatever.
So this stuff affects everybody to some degree. And at its most basic level, like, we want what other people have. It's like, you know, little kids, when somebody gets like 3 M&Ms and one kid gets 2 M&Ms, like, they want that third damn M&M and they're going to be upset about it. You know, it's like a base instinct. And we want to be treated fairly. We want to be recognized and appreciated. And when we sacrifice something, we want it to mean something. I think these are very basic instincts of all humans. And Maggie, you know, we touch on this show a lot, how I don't have like the same emotional reaction to a lot of stuff that other people do. These things, these like, you know, the jealousy and the wanting to be treated fairly, like I feel this regularly. I just don't think I feel it as strongly as other people. You know, when somebody gets promoted who I don't like, I'm like, well, shit, they're not good at their job. Like, why am I not getting promoted? I have to remind myself of a lot of things we're going to touch on in the next episode about like how to deal with it. But like this is super normal. And everybody at one point or another has felt shitty about somebody getting something that they themselves want.
Yeah. Or that they themselves don't even want. Like you don't actually, you've expressed
this. I don't want it
Mike
at all.
Does
and
not
I still
get
jealous.
Promoted. You know, Mike is happy at the level he's at. He doesn't want, it's not worth, the incremental money is not worth it to you, right?
Yeah.
You've said that very like, I remember that was one of the first things I learned about you.
Yeah, you know, so I was actually reflecting on that conversation you and I had. We had been friends for 6 months or whatever, and we were talking about-
You had
about,
finished my taxes at this point.
I had finished your taxes. And then you kind of looked at me and you're like, but you could become a vice president. Like, wouldn't you want to just like see what that's like?
And, well, I think I more was like, wouldn't you want your salary doubled?
But my reaction to that was like, if somebody wants to give me a bigger title and give me more money and I can keep like doing what I'm doing because I was happy doing what I'm doing, like, sure, I love titles. I love money. Like, why wouldn't I want that? But I'm not willing to sacrifice really anything to get more. And that was the big difference for me.
Yeah, you also have been managing your finances since you were, you know, in your 20s in a way that gave you the confidence to make that statement, right? Some people are chasing the money, the title, et cetera, because they feel like they need to maintain and improve their lifestyle, right? Which is a unique thing that you have going for you that the average person doesn't. So Mike, as we wrap up this discussion, And in the next episode, the next part two of this discussion, we'll tap into how we suggest letting go of these feelings and kind of moving past them and designing a happier life. And I don't know how you describe it, but we'll get into it in the next episode. But as we kind of wrap this up, I think it is worth making the comparison between the constant chasing of a bigger title and job at work and a bigger, fancier house outside of work, right? Like to me, that kind of hedonistic treadmill of just wanting more and more and more and really being able to look inward at why you want those things and what it's going to do for you and being able to make the comparison to saying, hey, when we, all the things we just talked about, right? When we see someone with a bigger title, a lot of people treat them differently, automatically give them more respect. Well, the same thing happens when you drive a fancier car or when you drive, or no, I was going to say when you drive a bigger house, when you have a bigger house.
I don't know. Some people drive their houses.
Actually, I would love to drive a house. Me too. I would love to be able to drive my house. It's the opposite of that. A house you can't drive because it's so massive. It cannot be put on and move somewhere else. You know what I mean? Like people who are seeking more and more and more kind of in their personal lives often are the same people who are seeking, you know, those titles. And I think, you know, being able to kind of look inward and really understand why, and ask yourself why you want this stuff is the beginning of, I don't want to say fixing it because it may not be something to fix, but it is the beginning of evolving as a person and learning what really matters to you. And we'll talk about that in the next episode. But I just want to make that comparison because we often talk about lifestyle inflation. And what we're talking about here is kind of career inflation, right? It's constantly wanting more and more and more in your career. And is it for the right reasons? Mm-hmm. And how to think about your career. And so I just think there's such interesting comparisons between those two things.
Yeah. So let's finish with our top three takeaways, and we'll come back next week with some of our solutions. Number one, careers and progress can be a meaningful way to learn skills, make relationships, and grow as a person.
Number two, it's important to understand what you really want versus when you're reacting to social pressure and other cues around you.
And number three, listen to our next episode if you're struggling with the pressure and would like to hear our advice.
Nice. I like the teaser. We don't usually do that.
I know. All right. Okay. Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you've been challenged or inspired by what you've heard, please share this episode with a friend or family member.
Or in this case, Mike, perhaps a coworker.
Perhaps a coworker. That's right. We believe that talking to friends about money improves and deepens your relationships. And it's why we started this podcast. So spread the word and share this with a friend.
You can also rate and review the show and subscribe to make sure that you never miss an episode. If you have any thoughts or questions, we would love to hear from you, and you can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370 or hit us up on Instagram. And as you can see, when you send us messages and questions, we often will use them for episodes and cover them. So thank you to the people who shared their stories with us.
All right. Thanks, Maggie.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. See you in part two. Bye.